to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena of Maharaj Prithu. Today's verse, text 34, is that what's on the board? Thank you. We will now chant the 12-syllable mantra, which is the invocation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitreya Uvacha Iti Vainyasya Rajashe Pratinandhyartavad 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 Vachaha Pujito Nugrihit Vainang Gantung Chakre Chuto Matim Maitreya Uvacha Iti Vainyasya Rajashe Pratinandhyartavad Vachaha Pujito Nugrihit Vainang Pujito Nugrihit Vainang Gantun Chakre Chuto Matim. Please chant. Any more men want to chant? Ladies. Anyone else? Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya continued to speak. Iti, thus, Vainyasya, of the son of King Vena, Prithu Maharaj, Raja Rishe, of the saintly king, Pratinandya, appreciating, Artavat Vachaha, the prayers which were full of meaning, Pujita, being worshipped. Anugrihitva, sufficiently benedicting. Enam, King Prithu, Gantum, to go from that place. Chakre, made up. Achyuta, the infallible Lord. Matim, his mind. Now the translation, if we could continue to respond. The great saint Maitreya told Vidura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, amply appreciated the meaningful prayers of Maharaj Prithu. Thus, after being properly worshipped by the king, the Lord blessed him and decided to depart. And now we will hear Srila Prabhupada's purport as we sing every morning, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chite Te Koriya Aikya, Arana Koriho Mane Ash. My only desire is to hear the words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. Most important in this verse are the words Pratinandyarthavad Vachaha, which indicate that the Lord appreciated the very meaningful prayers of the king. When a devotee prays to the Lord, it is not to ask for material benefits, but to ask the Lord for his favor. He prays that he may be engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet, birth after birth. Lord Chaitanya therefore uses the words Mama Janmani Janmani, which mean birth after birth. Because a devotee is not even interested in stopping the repetition of birth. The Lord and the devotee appear in this material world birth after birth. But such births are transcendental. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord informed Arjuna that both he and Arjuna had undergone many, many births previously. But the Lord remembered everything about them, whereas Arjuna had forgotten. The Lord and his confidential devotees appear many times to fulfill the Lord's mission. But since such births are transcendental, they are not accompanied by the miserable conditions of material birth, and they are therefore called divya, transcendental. One must understand the transcendental birth of the Lord and the devotee. The purpose of the Lord's taking birth is to establish devotional service, which is the perfect system of religion. And the purpose of the birth of a devotee is to broadcast the same system of religion, or the bhakti cult, all over the world. Prithu Maharaj was an incarnation of the power of the Lord to spread the bhakti cult. And the Lord blessed him to remain fixed in his position. Thus, when the king refused to accept any material benediction, the Lord appreciated that refusal very much. Another significant word in this verse is achyuta, which means infallible. Although the Lord appears in this material world, he is never to be considered one of the conditioned souls who are fallible. When the Lord appears, he remains in his spiritual position, uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord expresses the quality of his appearance as Atma Mayaya, or performed by internal potency. The Lord, being infallible, is not forced by material nature to take birth in this material world. He appears in order to reestablish the perfect order of religious principles and to vanquish the demoniac influence in human society. So, in preparation for today's class, in my homework yesterday, I found some nice excerpts in two divisions, hopefully time will permit. The first is the concepts expressed by Prabhupada in the purport. I found some nice items from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and from the Bhagavad Gita, which help to substantiate some of the items that Prabhupada wrote about in today's purport. So I would ask you to please perform the sacrifice of hearing attentively. Hearing is the first item of devotional service, and it is pleasing to Krishna. So just try to hear the words of Srila Prabhupada and his books. My first note is taken from the Shikshastakam chapter, the final chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, chapter 20, because Prabhupada mentioned Mama Janmani Janmani, which is found in the fourth Shikshastakam verse. So I want to chant that, and also Lord Chaitanya's brief explanation of that verse. If you know this, and you should know this, please chant along with me. Na dhanang, na janang, na sundaring, kavitang va jagadishakamaye, mama janmani janmanishvare, bhavatad bhaktir ahaituki twayi. So here's how Lord Chaitanya paraphrases that in that final chapter. My dear Lord Krishna, I do not want material wealth from you, nor do I want followers, a beautiful wife, or the results of fruitive activities. I only pray that by your causeless mercy, you give me pure devotional service to you, life after life. Also, in today's purport, Prabhupada mentioned the Bhagavad Gita chapter 4. So there's a string of verses in the fourth chapter, which come together nicely. I'd like to chant those verses and also a few excerpts from the purports of that section in order to help us understand more fully what Prabhupada has been mentioning in today's purport. If you know these verses, please chant along with me as you like. Arjuna uvacha aparang bhavato janma parang janma vyavaspata katam etad vijaniyang tvam adau proktavanati. Arjuna said, the sun god Vivaswan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? Shri Bhagavan uvacha bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna tanyahang vedasarvani natvang veta parantapa. The personality of Godhead said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. And there's a nice comment in that purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is an excerpt from that purport. Devotees like Arjuna are constant companions of the Lord. And whenever the Lord incarnates, the associate devotees also incarnate in order to serve the Lord in different capacities. Arjuna is one of these devotees, and in this verse it is understood that some millions of years ago, when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god Vivaswan, Arjuna, in a different capacity, was also present. But the difference between the Lord and Arjuna is that the Lord remembered the incident, whereas Arjuna could not remember. That is the difference between the part and parcel living entity and the Supreme Lord. Although Arjuna is addressed herein as the mighty hero, who could subdue the enemies, he is unable to recall what had happened in his various past births. Therefore, a living entity, however great he may be in the material estimation, can never equal the Supreme Lord. Anyone who is a constant companion of the Lord is certainly a liberated person, but he cannot be equal to the Lord. The Lord is described in the Brahma Sanhita as infallible, achyuta, which means that he never forgets himself, even though he is in material contact. Therefore, the Lord and the living entity can never be equal in all respects. Even if the living entity is as liberated as Arjuna, although Arjuna is a devotee of the Lord, he sometimes forgets the nature of the Lord. But by the divine grace, a devotee can at once understand the infallible condition of the Lord, whereas a non-devotee or a demon cannot understand this transcendental nature. Consequently, these descriptions in the Gita cannot be understood by demonic brains. Krishna remembered acts which were performed by him millions of years before, but Arjuna could not, despite the fact that both Krishna and Arjuna are eternal in nature. We may also note herein that a living entity forgets everything due to his change of body, but the Lord remembers because he does not change his Sachid Ananda body. He is Advaita, which means there is no distinction between his body and himself. Everything in relation to him is spirit, whereas the conditioned soul is different from his material body. And because the Lord's body and self are identical, his position is always different from that of the ordinary living entity, even when he descends to the material platform. The demons cannot adjust themselves to this transcendental nature of the Lord, which the Lord himself explains in the following verse. And therefore, the theme continues in this fourth chapter. Ajo pisan avyayatma bhutanam ishvaro pisan prakritiṃ svam adhiṣṭhāya sambhavam yatma māyaya. Although I am unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Yadā yadā hi dharmasya glānir bhavati bharata abhyutānam adharmasya tadātmānam srijāmyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Praritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sangstapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. And then, finally, janma karma chame divyam evang yuveti tatvataha tyakva dehang punar janma naitimameti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Also mentioned in today's purport, Prabhupada mentioned achyuta, infallible, and in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the Purushottam Yoga, towards the end, Krishna explains his being infallible and how he is different even from the eternally liberated living entities. This section begins with verse number 16. Dva imau purushau loke kshadas chakshara evacha kshara sarvani bhutani kutasto kshara uchate. There are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible, and in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. And then it continues, Uttama purushastvanya paramatnet yudharita yo lokatrayama visya vibhartyavyaya ishvaraha. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. Yasmaksharam atitoham aksharad apichottamaha atosmi loke vedecha pratita purushottamaha. Because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. And so with your permission, I'd like to do one more little reading, a very nice section in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which will give us some understanding of what Prabhupada mentioned in the purport regarding the transcendental position of the devotee. This excerpt from the Chaitanya Charitamrita is from the Antilila, chapter 4, the pastimes of Sanatan Goswami being tested by the Lord, and also Sanatan Goswami's consideration that his body was unfit for devotional service, and so he wanted to commit suicide by diving himself in front of the Ratayatra cart, and in this way committing suicide, and he was thinking that in that way he would go back home, back to Godhead. So in that section, there is a nice exchange between Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya. So Haridas Thakur said, "My dear sir, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are most merciful toward us. No one can understand what is within your deeply affectionate heart. You embraced the leper Vasudev, whose body was fully infected by worms. You are so kind that in spite of his condition, you embraced him. And by embracing him, you made his body as beautiful as that of Cupid. We cannot understand the waves of your mercy." Because Sanatan Goswami, because of the way that he came to Jagannath Puri, and he had drunk contaminated water, he had itching sores all over his body. But yet, Lord Chaitanya, when he would come to see Haridas and Sanatan, because Sanatan was staying with Haridas, and Lord Chaitanya would every day come and see Haridas. Why? Haridas was not allowed to enter the Jagannath temple because he was non-Hindu. And Sanatan Goswami also could not enter the Jagannath temple because although he was born a Brahmana, because he was engaged previously in the government service of the Muslims, he had become ostracized by the strict Brahmin community. So Lord Chaitanya, when he would come daily to see Haridas, and Sanatan was staying with him, Lord Chaitanya would embrace Sanatan, and the itching, weeping sores would naturally go on the body of Lord Chaitanya, and Sanatan was thinking, "I'm committing so many offenses." So Lord Chaitanya now is replying to Haridas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "The body of a devotee is never material. It is considered to be transcendental, full of spiritual bliss. Now, I find this next statement very significant. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders unto the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. When the devotee's body is thus transformed into spiritual existence, the devotee, in that transcendental body, renders service to the lotus feet of the Lord. And then Lord Chaitanya quotes the Bhagavatam, the living entity who was subjected to birth and death, this of course is in the Uddhava Gita, where Krishna is instructing Uddhava, so this is Krishna. The living entity who is subject to birth and death, when he gives up all material activities, dedicating his life to me for executing my order, and thus acts according to my direction, at that time he reaches the platform of immortality and becomes fit to enjoy the spiritual bliss of exchanging loving mellows with me. So there's some very nice comments by Prabhupada in this section. Prabhupada writes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to convince Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami that a devotee whose life is dedicated to the service of the Lord is never in the material conception because he always engages in the service of the Lord. His body is transcendental and full of spiritual bliss. His body should never be considered material. Just as the body of the deity worshipped in the temple is never considered to be made of stone or wood, factually, the deity is directly the supreme personality of Godhead without a doubt. The injunctions of the Padma Purana therefore state, Arche Vishnau Shiladir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnave Jati Buddhi Yasya Va Naraki Saha. The deity worshipped in the temple is never stone or wood. Similarly, the body of a Vaishnava, fully dedicated to the service of the Lord, is never considered to belong to the material modes of nature. At the time of initiation, a devotee gives up all his material conceptions. Therefore, being in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is situated on the transcendental platform. Thus, having attained knowledge and the spiritual platform, he always engages in the service of the spiritual body of Krishna. When one is freed from material connections in this way, his body immediately becomes spiritual, and Krishna accepts his service. However, Krishna does not accept anything from a person with a material conception of life. When a devotee no longer has any desire for material sense gratification, in his spiritual identity, he engages in the service of the Lord, for his dormant spiritual consciousness awakens. This awakening of spiritual consciousness makes his body spiritual, and thus he becomes fit to render service to the Lord. Karmis may consider the body of a devotee material, but factually it is not, for a devotee has no conception of material enjoyment. If one thinks that the body of a pure devotee is material, he is an offender, for that is Vaishnav Aparad. Thank you for listening so attentively. I hope that we have become fully cleansed by hearing the words of our spiritual master. And now we can entertain a discussion on any of the topics we heard today. Who would like to open the floor for discussion? Yes, Govinda Datta Prabhu.
Hare Bill Prud.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for such a wonderful presentation. Nice class. This morning I was listening to a talk. Srila Prabhupada was explaining how if we're engaged in the transcendental process, transcendental means it's above the three modes of material nature. So the devotee proves the transcendental process because he does not engage in sense gratification. You know, there are so many people that try to support their sense gratification, support their spirituality in terms of their sense gratification, that it's also Krishna. And that's Krishna. Sex is Krishna. You know, everything comes. Of course, that's an impersonal philosophy. Prabhupada says that the proof that they're not engaged in their spirituality is that they're addicted to these material activities. They're addicted, and of course, besides that addiction, accompanying that addiction are all kinds of nonsense activities, abortion, intoxication, and so many other. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else have a comment or question? So shall we end there? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.